Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
And this morning, I just kind of wanted to open things up with a little bit of a question. Have you ever before been in a situation where you just were not able, you just could not find the ability to say what you needed to say? I want you to think about that this morning. Have you ever faced circumstances in your life when you just simply were not able to say the words that you needed to say? You were left speechless. You couldn't say it. I've had countless moments in my own life where I simply could not muster the courage to say what I wanted to say. I just couldn't do it. And often, sometimes there are things that I want to say that I find it's easier to put in writing. It's easier to put in writing rather than having the ability to say it out loud. One of my favorite TV characters growing up on television was Arthur Fonzarelli. Anybody remember the Fonz? Yeah, Jeff Yinger's getting his leather coat out and he's got his thumbs up already. Fonzie had this ongoing problem of being able to say what he needed to say sometimes. He had a problem uttering certain words. If you're a fan of Happy Days, I'll give you a little bit of a, we'll get in the Wayback Machine and go back to Tuesday nights on ABC TV, because that's when it aired. And there was that time that Ralph Mouth, remember Ralph Mouth, the bubble gum and everything? Ralph Mouth, Fonzie could not admit to Ralph Mouth that his advice about Ralph joining the Marines was he couldn't admit that he was wrong. Fonzie couldn't admit he was wrong. And then there was that time that he just could not say to Richie Cunningham that he was remember the Fonz? He couldn't say he was he couldn't say he was sorry. He had a hard time saying he was sorry. And one of my favorite moments, there was an episode, Fonzie was having kind of like this crisis of confidence. And he was, you know, alpha male, always cool. And he was having this crisis of confidence. And suddenly he became very passive and submissive. And it was impossible for him to utter the words that he was considering the sale of his I think I'm going to sell my his motorcycle. He could not say. Anybody remember that episode? Happy Days was awesome. Many times when the heat was on, many times when the heat was on, we are just like the Fonz. We are just like the Fonz. I always wanted to be cool like Fonzie, but not in this way. When the rubber met the road, Fonzie was frequently outed as a chicken, as a coward. He lacked the courage to be able to say what needed to be said, and it made for great comedy on television, but in real life, it's really no laughing matter when we lack the courage to say what needs to be said. In our walk with Jesus, it's never a laughing matter when we find ourselves lacking the courage to take the next step in our walk with Christ. And this week, that's what we're going to focus on. We're going to focus on possessing or gaining the courage that is required for us to take the next step in our journey with Jesus. When the rubber meets the road, I don't want any of us in Maplewood to be outed as chickens. I don't want any of us to be outed as chickens. As a matter of fact, I want us to have the courage to find our voice so that we can say yes to Jesus when he calls us, as he directs us. Over the past few weeks, we've been examining different figures, different people in the Bible. You're familiar with all of these stories. But we've been taking another look at these very familiar stories, and we've been digging away, we've been mining into these very familiar stories for insights that can help each of us as we explore the next step in our journey with Jesus. You are all on a journey. Remember? We are all on a, you are on a personal journey with Jesus. And for every one of you, some of you may be at one part of the Monopoly board, others may be at another. But I want you to know, every single one of these sermons is exactly for each and every one of us. Sometimes you come to church and you say, oh, that sermon wasn't for me. And this week, if you say that, I would say, This sermon's for you. You're here for a reason this morning. You're online listening to this morning. If you're listening to our podcast somewhere out there in the world, you're listening to this for a reason this morning, because God wants to talk to us about having the courage to take our next step in our journey with Jesus. Are you ready for two more stories this week? Two more stories. When it comes to courage, there are two stories that I'm going to focus on. They may seem unrelated. You may be going, where is he going with this? But as we dig into these very familiar Bible stories one more time, I think you'll realize they have more in common than maybe it appears initially. I want to take a few moments to examine the story of Esther. Esther's a book in the Old Testament. You can read that whole story. Esther chapter 4 is really kind of like the critical moment. So if you want to write that down in your notes and go read that this week and study that a little bit, it might help you. And then I want to take a couple of moments and look at the story of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. You're like, Esther and Zacchaeus, what's going on here? One of these things is not like the other. But they are. Trust me. Trust me this morning. First of all, let's look at the story of Esther, okay? The story of Esther occurs during the age of the Persian Empire, right? The age of the Persian Empire. The people of Israel, during this story, they are a conquered people. They have been defeated in battle by the Babylonian kingdom. Many of their best people, their smartest people, their brightest people, all of their wealth and their riches that had been collected at the temple in Jerusalem had all been raided and had been taken to Babylon. And after the Babylonian Empire had sacked the tribes of Judah, the Babylonians found themselves sacked by the Persians. There's always a bigger fish, right? If Star Wars The Phantom Menace taught me anything, it was that. Some of you get that joke this morning. If you do, I'll give you a star afterwards. Paul Grandinette's going, yes! Star Wars reference. Pastor Joe. The Babylonians had conquered the nation of Israel and brought them to Babylon, and then all of a sudden the Babylonians find themselves sacked by the Persians, and the Persians swept in from the north, and the Persians built an empire that spanned all the way from what we know today as like Afghanistan over by India. This empire spanned from India all the way across Afghanistan and Iran and Iraq, and where all the trouble is happening in the Middle East today, all the way to the Nile River in Egypt. It was a huge, expansive empire. And Xerxes was the king. Now, I'm not talking about Lee and Melanie's grandson this morning. Coolest kid I know is Xerxes. Xerxes was the king. He was the king of Persia. And Xerxes, for a number of reasons, Hayden, he needed a new queen. A lot of stuff is going on. It's like a soap opera in the book of Esther as you read it. But Xerxes, he was the king and he needed a new queen. And even though he didn't know that she was an Israelite, even though he had no idea, Xerxes chose Esther to be the new queen. You remember last week how we talked about how there was a beauty, we would put on a beauty pageant if we were to pick who the mother of Jesus would be? Well, back in that day, they actually did have a beauty pageant, and it took a whole year for a queen to be picked for the king. And Esther, young lady from the nation of Israel, finds herself winning the beauty pageant and becoming the new queen of Persia. She's chosen, even though they didn't know that she wasn't Persian. She was one of the slaves. She was an Israelite. She came from the nation of Israel. And during the beauty pageant, backstage, in the wings, there was something going on under everyone's noses. There was a plot by one of Xerxes' top aides. It's like one of his top counselors. And he was cracking a plot to have the entire nation of Israel executed on a single day. He wanted the king to issue the execution of the entire nation of Israel. This plot is unfolding in the back wings while the beauty pageant for the new queen is going on. And even this evil lieutenant of Xerxes had no idea that the new Queen Esther was from the tribe of Israel. Nobody knew this. She was kind of in disguise in the midst of all of this stuff as the soap opera was unfolding. And one day, Esther's cousin finds out that this plot is afoot back in the wings of the beauty pageant. Her cousin finds out, and he reaches out to Esther, and he pleads for her, "Esther, do something. Use your position, use your power, use your influence as the queen to do something to save your people." He points out to Esther as he's talking to her about this. He actually had a secret meeting with her off to the side. And he points out to her, "Esther, you may have been chosen to be queen for such a time as this. As a matter of fact, it may not be because you're beautiful. It may not be because you're the most talented. It may not be because you won the evening gown competition or the swimsuit competition or you answered the questions the best. Maybe it's simply because you're a lady of the nation of Israel, you may be in this position. Maybe God put you there for such a time as this." So Esther, she's the queen over this vast empire now. She's faced with this choice. Stand up for her people and risk being killed. There's a very real possibility as soon as she's unmasked as who she is, that she will be put to death. Or she could stay quiet and watch her entire heritage, her entire nation be slaughtered at this appointed time, on this appointed day, a couple of months into the future. Esther has a choice. Does she stand up at the risk of her own life, or does she stay quiet? Fortunately, Esther had the courage to stand up and do the right thing as the story plays out, and the nation of Israel is saved, and guess what? The top lieutenant who was trying to hatch this whole plot to kill them all, he winds up getting hanged in the very gallows he had planned some of the Israelites to be hanged in. Esther stood up. She did the right thing. She had the courage to put her life on the line to do the right thing. She was in the right place for such a time as this. All right, let's go forward to the New Testament this morning. Luke 19, the story of Zacchaeus. We all know the song. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree to see what he could see. You guys got it. You know where we're at. Most of us are familiar. We know the story through the song. Zacchaeus was, first of all, he was a Jew. And he was a Jew who lived in the city of Jericho. Zacchaeus also happened to be a tax collector. So you all know how you feel about the tax man this time of the year as you're doing your taxes. Yeah, well, amplify that about a kabillion times. These people did not like the tax collectors. The Roman Empire would go in to their kingdoms, and they thought it would be better to recruit one of the people to collect the taxes, that people would be more willing to give if they had one of their own do the collections rather than to have a Roman centurion come in and do the collecting for them. So they had chosen volunteers, people who had applied for the job, to betray their people and go and basically rob them of their money because that's the way it kind of works. So Zacchaeus is a tax collector in Jericho, and he is no one's friend. He has no friends. He's not very popular. As a matter of fact, he was very likely, like all tax collectors, he was considered a traitor to everybody in town who knew him. Tax collectors in that time were notorious for collecting the tax for the Roman Empire and collecting the tax for the temple and then taking a cut for themselves. The tax collectors were some of the richest people in town, and they were perceived by the people around them as taking advantage of the situation because they had made a conscious decision to betray their countrymen. They made a choice to betray their countrymen for money. Money was more important. Zacchaeus, as a tax collector, was bought and paid for by the Roman Empire. He was bought and paid for. And so he's reviled in this community. And then one day, Jesus comes to Jericho, and the word goes ahead of Jesus. Right? When Jesus is out in the world doing his ministry, the word always is in advance where he's going because people want to see Jesus. He's healing people. He's viewed as the Messiah. He's increasing in popularity during this time of his ministry. And Jesus is heading to Jericho. People hear about it. And Zacchaeus, rich and reviled, was also a very short man, just a little guy. He was a very short man. Wilma goes, I saw that. We love our short people. I resemble that remark, she says. Zacchaeus was a short man, so he, as the people gathered on the streets to greet Jesus as he came into town, Zacchaeus was like, hey, down in front. But nobody would get down in front because they're like, I'm not going to do that for Zach. He's like a robber baron. You know, he's like the bad guy here. So no one would listen to him. So Zacchaeus spies a nearby sycamore fig tree, and he decides to climb up that tree. Anybody climb trees when they were kids? All right. I think Dexter still climbs trees from what I understand. That's what I heard, Dexter. But he decides to climb up this tree so he can see the famous rabbi as Jesus is walking by. And just as Jesus is walking by, this is what happens. Luke chapter 19, verse 5. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, he knew him by name. Isn't that interesting? Jesus has come to Jericho. He knows him by name. Remember, God calls us by name. He makes it personal. God gets up in our grill when he's calling us into our next steps. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. When Jesus reaches the spot, he looks up to him and he says, Zacchaeus, come down here immediately. Come down from that tree immediately. I must stay at your house today. So Zacchaeus, he climbs down the tree at once and he welcomes Jesus gladly. All the people saw this, and they began to mutter. The people saw this, saw Jesus, the rabbi, coming into town and inviting this man they all hated down to go to his house, and they began to mutter. He's gone to be the guest of a sinner. He's gone to be the guest of a sinner, and they're all just rah, 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 in the background. You can just hear them mumbling and grumbling about how Jesus had chosen to go to Zacchaeus' house when they wanted Jesus to come to their house. They were jealous because they hated Zacchaeus. But Zacchaeus, before they went to his house, Zacchaeus stands up. He was just a little guy, remember? But he stood up and he said to Jesus, look, Lord, and immediately he's calling him Lord. He's acknowledging the authority of Jesus in his life. And he says, look, Lord, here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, if I've cheated any of you, everybody's watching. If I've cheated anybody out of everything, I will pay back four times the amount. It says this is a public admission to everybody. Jesus says to him after he says this, today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. Because Zacchaeus had courage, salvation came to his house. Because Zacchaeus had courage, restitution came to the community. Everybody benefited from this man's courage to do the right thing. Let's take a step back here for a couple minutes. Let's look at these two stories. We've got Esther, we've got Zacchaeus. Let's look, what can we learn from these two stories? First of all, I want you to note, both Esther and Zacchaeus we're faced with personal choices, the impact of which extended beyond themselves. They both had personal choices of which the impact extended beyond themselves personally. We tend to tell ourselves that my decisions, my choice, what I decide for me doesn't hurt anybody else. It doesn't affect anybody else. It's one of the biggest lies that the devil likes us to buy into in this world. A bald-faced lie from the devil. My choice will impact nobody but me. If you tell yourself that frequently, just know that that's the devil chirping that in your ear. Almost every choice we make has some sort of impact that extends beyond ourselves personally. I want you to just think about that. Every word we speak, every choice we make, it's not just impacting you, it's having an impact beyond you. And often when we make choices in private that we believe won't impact anybody else, the reality is just the opposite. The choices we make, even in private, impact others beyond ourselves. If you look at our community and you look at the addiction issues that grip our community, I mean, you just look left and right, and it's all over the place in Springfield. Addiction decisions, the choice to take the pill, the choice to put the needle in the arm, the choice to take a toke, those are usually decisions that are made in private, but they wind up having huge impact beyond the individual who's taking the dose. Most of our addiction decisions are made in private, but the impact to others, to our community, has been devastating. Both Esther and Zacchaeus, they both had to choose between their own comfort, they had to choose between their own security, they had to choose between their own pride, or the people around them. They had choices to face. For Esther, she could have chosen herself, or to save her nation. For Zacchaeus, he could have chosen himself. Keep all of his wealth. Keep it for himself. Forget those people. Or he could have chosen restitution and salvation for his house and his community. Folks, I want you to see, I want you to hear this morning, and again, this is specifically for you. Often, when Jesus is talking to us about what's next in our journey with him, we think it's only going to impact us personally. But in reality, your obedience or disobedience could result in either blessing or curse for the people around you. Blessed, happy, cursed, it's not all about you. Okay? It's not all about me. It's not all about me. It's not all about us. The choices that we make have outsized impact on the people around us. That's one thing I want us to see in these stories today. The second thing I want us to see, both Esther and Zacchaeus were faced with putting it all on the line. They were faced with putting it all on the line. For Esther, she was being asked to risk her own life to save her people. She did not know if she went to the king and brought this up, if he would hang her or help her. The question was large and in charge in her situation. The outcome, unknown. Risk her own life or save her own life? For Zacchaeus, as he came down from that tree, as he met with Jesus, he was being asked to put his personal wealth all on the line. That was part of what it meant for him to step out of that tree. And before he could take that next step with Jesus to his house, he felt moved, he felt convicted that before he could go with Jesus, he needed to make restitution and repair the damage that he had caused in his community. He was being asked to risk his own wealth to bring restoration to his community so that his household and his community could also receive salvation. Oftentimes, God calls us to put everything on the line for him so that we can take our next step. Why does he have to do this? Why does God have to have us put it all on the line? And sometimes I think it's as simple as this. God put it all on the line for you. Why does he ask us to do that? Because he put it all on the line for you and me. Should he expect no less from us in return? In Christ, God puts himself out there. In Christ, he puts everything on the line to save humanity. And in doing so, he secures our eternal redemption. In putting Christ out there, he secures our redemption so that not even death can harm those who believe in Jesus. But God, how does God put it all out there, Pastor? How does he put it all out there? He's God. He has nothing to lose. He has everything to lose. He has you to lose. Because he does not force us to choose him. He put everything on the line through his son Jesus. He pulled out all the stops. He did everything he could possibly do that we might be saved. But guess what? He leaves the choice to you. What did he risk? He risks our rejection of him. Our rejection of God and what he does for us through Christ. If we reject that, it's devastating to God. But he loves us. And his love demands that he allow us to make the choice. The choice is ours. God put it all on the line for you and me. He expects no less from us. And in doing so, he has secured our redemption and our restoration so that not even death can harm those who believe in Jesus. Not even death. Amen? Not even death. Yes, he often seemingly asks us to put it all on the line. But friends, I love what we sang this morning. He does ask us to put it on the line, but he remains faithful to us. God remains faithful in the end to those who remain faithful to him. And that kind of leads me to my final point this morning, which is really a question today. Do we have the courage? Do you have the courage to respond to God's call, no matter what? Do you have the courage to respond to what God's calling you into next in your walk, no matter what it may cost us? Was Esther afraid? Most certainly, I'm sure she was afraid. Was she stressed out about this meeting with the king? Most definitely. Were her nerves frazzled as she anticipated this tough conversation with the almighty Xerxes? Absolutely. With the crowd standing all around him with condemnation and scorn in their eyes, was Zacchaeus possibly intimidated? Most certainly. Knowing that restitution to the community may result in his own financial ruin, do you think he was anxious in what he might have to do in that moment? Most definitely. With Jesus looking him straight in the eye, expecting Zacchaeus to do the right thing, do you think he was maybe just a little rattled? Absolutely. But both Esther and Zacchaeus, what do they have in common? They had the courage to step out on faith, even though it may cost them everything. Even though it may cost them everything. I don't know where you're at in your journey with Jesus this morning. I just know that we're all on that journey together. We're all in different places on this journey. I have this sneaking suspicion that many of us could use a dose of courage today. Many of us could use a dose of courage to help us take that next step with the Master. And I think Jesus wants to give us a dose of courage today. Part of moving forward with him, part of going deeper with him than we've ever gone before in our lives, even when things don't even make sense, but part of just being willing to say yes and be obedient It requires courage to take that next step, to do what Jesus would do in your situation. For some this morning, that may look like having the courage to accept Jesus into your heart for the very first time. It may look like having the courage to come back and recommit yourself to Christ for the very first time. You know that you have fallen away. For some of us this morning, it may look like having the courage to admit you were wrong to someone with whom you're in conflict with. Like Arthur Fonzarelli, you have to find the courage to say, "I'm sorry." He will help you. For some of us this morning, that may look like having the courage to reach out in reconciliation to someone you've cut off. Bridge has been burnt. God's into building bridges, folks. He's into building bridges out of the ashes we sometimes make. For some of us this morning, it may look like having the courage to stand up for someone who can't stand up for themselves. He calls his people to stand up for those who can't stand up for themselves. We are to be people of justice. We are to be people of love and righteousness. For some of us this morning, it may look like having the courage to take a stand for what you know is right in the eyes of Christ. There's a situation you're facing in your life. You know there's a decision to be made. You know what Jesus would do. And you know there's also other options over here that are not Christ-like and are not his way. And he's calling you to have the courage, even though it may not look like it makes sense compared to all these things and the world's logic, to take that step and follow him. To do what Jesus would do in that situation. For some of us this morning, it may look like having the courage to share the gospel with someone in your circle of influence that God has put on your heart. Maybe you've even gotten up to the edge of having that conversation with them, but you just haven't had the courage to broach the conversation. Do you know my Jesus? Do you know the Jesus who saves me and gives me hope? You keep on asking me what makes me different, but we don't have the courage to step into the conversation. Sometimes we get invited into it, folks. And we're scared. We don't have the courage to jump into the dialogue. And I'm your pastor. Sometimes it happens to me. I'll be really honest with you. I'll be real with you. Sometimes it looks like having the courage to trust God, even when it doesn't make any sense whatsoever in your life. We've all been there. We've all been there. Folks, I want you to know your choices matter. Your choices matter. They matter inside your heart, but they also matter to the people around us. They matter to your faith community. I want you to see, I want you to continue to know and realize that as you're journeying with Jesus, your spiritual decisions that you're making in your life, whether they're building your spiritual life up or tearing it down, they don't just impact you. Remember how we looked around at everybody this morning? Impacts everybody in the faith community. Impacts everybody in the faith community. Anybody watch The Big Bang Theory? I was watching an episode of The Big Bang Theory this week, and Sheldon is the travel czar. They're all going on a trip to go somewhere, and Sheldon makes some comment about how when you're on a trip, the group is only as strong as the weakest bladder. I love Sheldon Cooper. He's really funny. But it's true. We can only be strong as a church as our weakest member. We must all be striving to follow Jesus. We must all be striving to jump into that next step. We must all be striving to have the courage to take that next step in our walk with Jesus. And that next step looks different for y'all. Does not look the same as the person next to you. May not look like the step your spouse is being called into sometimes. But it all weaves together into this beautiful tapestry. And as the church, we come together obeying Jesus and we become his body here and in our circle of influence outside the walls of this place. Do you have the courage? Your choices matter. Will we be like the Fonz and lack the courage to overcome our pride in order to take the next step? Like I said, it may have been funny on television, but when we lack courage in our walk with Jesus, it's no laughing matter. It could be tragic. Will we be like Esther? Will we be like Zacchaeus? Will we have the courage to be obedient to the Lord and take that next step? A step that could change everything? Do you have the courage to put it all on the line? Everything on the line? Will we have the courage to say yes to Jesus, no matter what?
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.